Ms. Ruckey?
Yeah, I have a question for Suzanne Lacey, I think, mostly, but anyone can answer it. I'm new to a job as a public art officer in a small city in the UK, and what I'm finding is that the work that has been done by socially engaged artists since the 60s has become institutionalized to the point where what I get asked from every corner of the city is, we've got a problem, get us an artist. And it's everything from youth violence, drugs, traffic, how to, you know, relight the city, just everything. And I look at them and say, well, get yourself a lighting designer, get yourself a social worker. Art's not going to solve all your problems. And I'm just, it'd be interesting to talk about that a little bit from your point of view.
Well, I think one of the problems, and actually one of the good things, can you hear me? Okay. One of the good things about this work is that, remember when we began it, it was a very small practice. There was a sort of a handful of people, and we knew each other internationally, who we were, what we were thinking about, how we were working. We really fed off of each other. Martha Rosso was a good friend, Alan Sakula, there was, you know, lots of people that you would know now from this work. We were in this community together. I think what's happened now is that it has become not part of the establishment in its fulsomeness, but in its beginning stages. In other words, a lot of people that are working now since the 90s are beginning to track out a much broader territory, like your work and the sort of issues of globalism that you deal with. I think those works are not necessarily, and I'm not speaking of yours now, like the project I did in Oakland took literally like 3 years, 300 grand, you know, lots and lots of people, lots of collaborators, lots of engagement. And that's a level of the practice that in fact is not incorporated in the art world because it doesn't really have a way to do that. I mean, you could represent it in videos, you know, how do you really show the complexity of that work in, for example, in a museum. So I think that the practice will mature. Obviously, art doesn't solve everything, but it is a real breath of fresh, you know, spontaneous, engaged ways of thinking that I think it makes sense to ask artists to go and look at those issues. The other thing is that not everybody is an art star. And I, as an art educator myself, we turn out in the United States hundreds of BFAs and MFAs every year, not all of which are going to end up in biennales. And many of those artists can be working on the local problem on this corner and the local problem in that park, and there's no reason not to.
So I think the question maybe that you were asking is a bit around some ideas of demarcation, delimitation, exactly when does something stop being artistic practice and start being social work, perhaps. So I would suggest that we return to it in the debate we'll have at the end of this session today, and maybe now have more just concrete questions, just a few for the actual projects that we saw. So I don't know if anyone else.
Question about the work we're looking for.
Me too.
Yeah, I
Just a question about in what way you talk when you work with people from outside the art world, which you go through. In what ways do you talk about what art can do and what art can offer, what kind of space art offers for instance, the farmers in Brazil? What kind of conversations do you have about that opportunity that art can offer?
I think that first of all, you as an artist or any individual of a profession should be aware of the context that you are a part of or the context you enter. And when first you enter a context such as the one in the Amazon, then you don't necessarily talk from an arts perspective, or you do not, neither talking use you. You do neither use the same type of language because the content is different. So I think that you when we do those type of projects, you go in with your experiences, your kind of interests, and then you deal with the actual situation. The art part often then enters when you have a possibility of presenting this project or idea or concept within a public sphere. And for example, with the Guatemala Power Project, there would have been ways of trying to deal with it, but I consider the arts context, or let's say a biennial, as a possibility of bringing a focus on a certain issue, on certain subjects. And I also think that within the arts context, you often have let's call it a kind of an experimentation economy, which is not at the starting point focused on economic bottom line, that you need to have so much profit out of it. But I think in general you have to be very much aware of the activities that you make within the different contexts, and also clearly look into the context that you are part of, and then you can sometimes use the arts context to present the concepts, the ideas, and other different people can look at them. Both artists, the economists, the social workers, and whoever, and they can look at them, look at these as models or examples.
I live in Oakland, but I moved there about 3 years ago, and I was just wondering if you had been back since you've done your project, and if what goals you had hoped to achieve by doing it, and if you had in fact achieved any of those.
Given that I worked for 10 years there on a series of projects with an evolving group of people, the answer is yes, I've been back many times. I'm currently writing a book with one of the young people that I met when she was 15. And I hold various kinds of screenings and sometimes go back and consult on how to do a police training program and so on. But that work was so complicated and involved with the work of many other people that it's hard to specifically say it was a single goal and a single. Did I help raise the level of discourse on the needs and politics of youth and youth image? Yes, but certainly and absolutely not alone. I really was part of a whole community working on that work, and I can point you to many people that you might want to get involved with if you're interested in working in that community. I think the other thing to say, though, is that no, there's also a no answer. No, it didn't accomplish nor did I expect it to, this sort of utopian idea of changing the social circumstances of poor youth of color in Oakland. And no, it did not, kind of like I see it, institutions as sort of like Teflon, the Law and Art Project, and even if it's a 3-year or 4-year project, it kind of slides off the surface. Because institutions such as the police department, we talked a lot about how to institute ongoing police training, but they are not structured to accommodate an art practice, nor do they have the kind of financing required to do those practices. So basically, there's kind of a dead end when it comes to significant institutional change, in my experience.
Not
even.
Okay,
so
one last question.
Yes, I'd like to ask about the project Code 33. What was the relationship between controlling and creating a community? Controlling and creating.
It depends on the age, it depends on the sophistication of the community, and it depends, that issue is a very important issue. As I said, and tried to indicate, particularly working cross-racially, there are fears that a white person is dominating or controlling in some way. That community is a very sophisticated, racially conscious community. And in fact, the opposite is sort of true. Often I was controlled by it, Also, the collaborators were an incredibly diverse group, so I wasn't always out front. I don't believe it's possible to control at this scale. I think with very small works, with young, really young people, children, but Oakland, you know, kids in Oakland that are 15 and 16 aren't controllable by a single person at this point in time. They're basically functioning as adults in many, you know, they're very non-attached to families in significant and problematic ways. So I would say
American, and there is a different side of sort of this kind of critique in America. We worked in American institutions, and this kind of critique becomes like an academic career. And this academic career doesn't sort of move beyond the walls of the universities or the art schools. And I think that's very important to understand that there are always power relations. You should always think of them, but that shouldn't stop you from acting, because we have a problematic starting point, which is like usually like we sit here like a middle class white Westerners, so forth. And that's, the problem is there, but it's not, it shouldn't stop you from, like, from acting.
That's that notion of transparency I was talking about. You basically reveal the power relationships within the construction of the work. And in the case of Oakland, for example, I've been on television with people raising those very issues. I don't edit them out of the film. I leave them in it.
Okay, so, hopefully to return to in a little bit. So we'll now have just a 5-minute break because we're a little over time.